Thank you, Colin. He's not aware of this, but that kind of puts in perspective what I'm going to say about Thanksgiving. You know, everything we could think about the benefits and blessings and the things that we enjoy that we would be thankful for all goes back to there's just one thing, and that's Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. He's the source of every blessing and everything that we enjoy. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And though this is packed with doctrinal, theological insights into what it means to be a Christian, to be in Christ, what we have is the body of Christ. Don't miss the nuance that relates to this time of Thanksgiving. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your blessings. And Lord, I pray that this special season of the year and this Thanksgiving holiday would not just be another routine of gathering with family and the things that we enjoy, but Lord, that it would be a reminder that you're the source of all of our blessings, and that the Christian grace of knowing you is a heart that is always thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I would have to say, really, in thinking through it, that I think Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday. Now, it may not be the most significant, the biggest ones, but of course, Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus, but it's just been so overshadowed by all of the superfluous and extra things that have been added in programs and parties and decorations and songs. We enjoyed it. It blesses us, but it just seems to go on forever. I mean, even before Halloween, the stores had Christmas trees and, you know, promoting Christmas specials and just the stress of getting gifts for everyone, and your whole life and schedule is just in upheaval and trying to meet all of the expectations and celebrations for what we do on Christmas. And then Easter is certainly meaningful and significant. It's not surrounded by all of the commercial materialisms, but it's often about getting a new suit of clothes and a time of special worship, and it's always a blessing. 4th of July, barbecue, fireworks, you know, just having fun, being excitement, going to the lake, boating, skiing, you know, to celebrate the birth of our nation. But there's something about Thanksgiving that has an intimacy of family, of really celebrating to give thanks to the Lord and focus on him. You know, for me, it was getting together with the family. May not all come together on Christmas, certainly not the other holidays, but Thanksgiving was a family time. I mean, the food, never before. We use Thanksgiving as a metaphor for just overindulgence of everything that's good, that and overeating is justification, just food and family and football. I mean, what a combination. I mean, putting those three things together on a special day. All of us have traditions of how our family usually celebrated Thanksgiving. I can remember all of our family together. Sometimes we had cousins and others with us, but basically our nuclear family. And my dad, we didn't have a daily devotional time, but he would always read Psalm 100. I guess simply because it started, enter his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, okay, He probably looked that up in a commentary, and the word thanksgiving was there. And so he would read Psalm 100, and then before we could indulge in that food and have the blessing, everyone would have to say, "What are you thankful for this year?" Now, I don't know if you do that or not. This may be a difficult year to try to think about what you're thankful for this year. It hadn't really gone really well. And invariably, someone would say, "I'm thankful for another year of health." Us kids would say, "I'm grateful for the fried chicken and the turkey and, you know, the food that we see on the table waiting for us." And, you know, my mother would probably say, "I'm thankful for our family." You know, all the family together. Somebody may be thankful for a new job or something that's happened, a promotion, and, that they're great and celebrating. But it so often reflects our ego and self-centeredness about what we got out of it, what we're benefiting from, our blessings instead of others. I remember our son when he was quite small, and he really resisted bedtime. I mean, he would do anything he could to keep from going to bed. And finally, you get his pajamas on and get him to bed saying his prayers. I can remember, "Thank you, God, for Mama and Daddy, for Lori, his sister, for Grandma and Granddad." He would start naming his aunts and uncles that he was thankful for, name all of his cousins. Then he'd start thanking God for all of his playmates, Billy, Michael, Jane, you know, just go on and on the list. Thanking God for his bicycle, for his ball and bat, and, you know, all of his toys, and just go on and on and on to keep from having to get into bed. But really, Thanksgiving is a time for not so much trying to identify what we're thankful for. If we're really thankful for everything, and if we really recognize that it's the giver that we're thanking. It's not the things, the benefits, the blessings, but the source of those blessings. You're quite familiar with the parable that Jesus was teaching on prayer of the Pharisee and the publican in the 18th chapter of Luke. He's got several important lessons here. It starts off in verse 1, you know, to show that every man ought to pray rather than to lose heart. But he goes on into this parable that two men went up in the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this, note, to himself: "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Certainly, we're not unaware of the blessings we have and should be thankful for them. And if you have a job and a steady income, you're indeed blessed and can be thankful, because many have lost that income and that security during this year. If you have enjoyed another year of good health, we should certainly be thankful for it, because so many that we know are not enjoying good health, continue to suffer and deal with illnesses and conditions that are not desirable and not particularly beneficial to us. When we see the suffering around the world, the warfare, the displaced refugees and others, certainly we have to be thankful for our freedoms, for our security, for the comforts of a home and all that we enjoy in life. But is it about us and what we have compared to others? Or should it not be a time when we are humble before God because of what we have? that we recognize they're from Him. The fact that the prayer, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," should that not override and transcend any material blessings of health and food and security and freedoms and what we enjoy? That override that God's mercy has been poured out upon us so that we've got something to be thankful for? Do we not realize that all of those things we might name on Thanksgiving Day, that we're not worthy of any of them? We're not deserving of any. Those of you that were with us Wednesday night remember that we were looking at Psalm 136, a very unique song, which is actually kind of an antiphonal hymn. And you will remember this if you're not just familiar with my calling out the number, Psalm 136, that every second line in that chapter is, "His mercy endures forever." And the first line, the antiphonal, is the blessing. God is good. God is worthy. God has cared for us. God protected us against His enemies. He defeated the Amorites. He rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. He's given Canaan as a heritage. And it just goes on and on. All the blessings God has given. But what does this remind us of? His mercy that is everlasting and endures forever. The only reason they have those blessings is not because they deserved it. They continued to rebel against God, and yet He continued to show mercy upon them. You know, if we're alive today, this week, celebrating Thanksgiving, it's because of God's mercy. It's because of God's grace. We need to remember to whom it is we are thankful, not the things that we enjoy. And is it genuine, or is it really with a sincere heart? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about Moses as he's recording it. It says, "When you should come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land," you know, they're looking forward, that promised land, "that He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and plentiful cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt and of the house of slavery." Why do you enjoy all of these things? You didn't deserve them. You didn't bring them about. But they should be a reminder of what God has done in your life. In just some of the files and materials I came across a story of a legend about two angels that were deployed to go throughout the earth. And one of them was to gather all of the prayers and petitions and supplications of God's people. And the other was to gather all the prayers of thanksgiving, acknowledging God's grace and mercy. And when they returned to heaven, the angel that was getting the petitions, the requests, the supplications that people were praying just had bags and bags and bags full. And the one gathering all the thanksgiving just had a few handfuls of thanksgiving, mostly on that holiday when we remember to be thankful. But if we remember, thankfulness arises from humility. It's like a relinquishment to God. It's an affirmation of our faith and our trust to acknowledge that He is the source of our blessing. And it gives us a positive view of life, especially in a year like this. Have you seen, like the optimist and the pessimist, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Well, a lot of people are struggling with anxiety, depression, uncertainty about the future, and things just seem to be getting worse, at least no better. And, well, you know, the glass is just half full. We aren't experiencing the prosperity and blessings of the fullness of God. But others who recognize that God is blessing, He is the source of what we have, sees the glass as half full, that God is still faithful and we can trust Him and believe in Him. So our text reminds us that thankfulness, a heart of faith, is essential for knowing God in all of His fullness. Now, if your Bibles are still open to Colossians 3, if not, come back to Colossians 3 there. We begin reading in verse 15. But the previous verses, Paul is just, I love these expressions, and I can just see them because occasionally I've had those times of inspiration when you start, writing something or thinking of something, and it just keeps expanding and keeps going on. Well, he starts mentioning in the Christian life, those, verse 12, who have been chosen of God, who are holy and beloved. He starts mentioning the Christian graces that characterize us. And he says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you've been called in one body. And this just kind of as an exclamation, and be thankful. Be thankful that you're a part of the body of Christ. That you've received all of these things, that you have these graces because of how God has blessed you and what He's done for you. Paul said in Philippians, opened his book in Philippians in chapter 1, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Thanking God that we are part of the body of Christ, that we have fellow believers who encourage us, who nurture us, who care for us, who respond to our needs, who are sensitive and support us in whatever we have. And these graces that Paul have mentioned, it's not a matter of each one individually. Okay, do I measure up here with love and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience? No, none of us have this in isolation of the body. They're Christian graces that God nurtures in relationship with one another as the part of the body of Christ. That's what we should be thankful for. The greatest blessing of all. And I dare say, some of you have family members and friends and that are not believers, at least they've never made that kind of commitment to live for Jesus Christ and are not living for Jesus Christ, and you never find them in church, that join us with thanksgiving and presume to share what they're thankful for this year. Health, blessings, a new job. Can anybody really be thankful without knowing the source of our blessings and what we have to be thankful for? We can also, because the Word of God dwells in us. Verse 16, dwells richly within us so that we can worship Him, sing Him songs. We can teach the Word of God, admonish one another in our Sunday school classes and our Bible studies, and do it with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Why? Because we've been blessed with His Word. And I'm so impressed with this church because you love the Word of God. You've got good Sunday school teachers. You're faithful to study God's Word. That's important. And how thankful we are for many even believers, people that just attend church routinely, that really aren't into the Word. They haven't been drawn with passion and gratefulness and thankfulness in our heart for the Word of God. And finally, I can just see Paul as one who has done some writing and preaching and trying to express an idea of something. He just kind of runs out, and it's almost as like, what I'm saying is, whatever you do, be thankful. Thank the Lord. In word and deed, in the name of Jesus, thank Christ. Give thanks to Him, to God the Father. And what we're doing is expressing His Lordship. He's the one that is to be glorified in our thanks. He's the one that is responsible for whatever we have. Now just think of the things in your life. What will you isolate to give thankful for? Because you're always going to see some things that you're not thankful for. You know, maybe you that night that you went to the bar or you watched a movie that really wasn't edifying and she had no business turning to that channel, or you had a fuss with your spouse or something, you don't say, let me tell you what I'm thankful for. You know, I did something I shouldn't have done, or, you know, I misrepresented the truth in working out a business deal with somebody, and, you know, which is really fraudulent, or I just had this spout with my spouse. No, you don't thank God for those things. There are a lot of things that you couldn't thank God for. But the things that you do, the point is Christ in your life or not? Because the things you can be thankful for, you do it in the name of Jesus and giving thanks to God the Father. Ephesians 5:20, Paul expressed it, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You probably heard the little verse that goes, where thanks with every gift expressed, each day would be thanksgiving. Where gratitude its very best, each life would be thanksgiving. And what I'm saying is, thanksgiving, meaningful it is, looking forward to it, sharing with family, sharing how God has blessed us, but if it's once a year, if every day is not filled with gratitude and recognition of what God is doing for you and has done for you, if you're not giving thanks to Him in humility, recognizing that it all accrues back to Him, thanksgiving's not really meaningful. It's just kind of a habit, a ritual, an annual experience. Because you see, gratitude, if we're really thankful on Thanksgiving, gratitude's not stimulated by an event or a situation, a holiday, but it's an inner disposition toward life, an inward attitude, not an outward platitude of just being verbalized, but what comes from our heart. Now, this is the main point I want you to hear and understand. Are you really thankful? Does it come from your heart? Back to Colossians, our text, 3 verses 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. In verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, thankfulness comes out of the heart. In 1 Chronicles 16:9, I don't remember when I first ran across this, but I've never forgotten it. It just, one of those verses that just pierced my heart. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Now, you know the passage where God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You know, He sees our heart. not just our behavior, our actions, the things that we do, but what are our motives behind it? Why do we live like we do or fail to live like we should? But the irony is that here's God over all the universe, all-knowing, knows every sparrow that falls, every hair from our head, the numbers of hairs in our head. It's not too big of a problem for some of us, knowing everything, that he has to search and look to and fro, trying to find someone whose heart is completely his. He goes on, 2 Chronicles continues kind of in this theme. He keeps picked up on it in chapter 25. He speaks of King Amaziah and says, he did right in the sight of the Lord, which was an exception. Most of the kings did not. They were evil. Well, Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. What an indictment. He knew what was right. He was trying to be circumspect and do the right things as king, but it wasn't really out of his heart. It wasn't really as a motive to honor, to glorify God. But then this verse, chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles, speaks of Hezekiah, and he did what was good, right and true before the Lord, and he did it with all his heart. And prosper. Well, how do you prosper in the Lord? How do you walk in the fullness of the Lord? In the blessings that God wants you to have. It's not just following the do's and don'ts and doing what's right, avoiding what's wrong, and kind of a legalistic approach to it, but do you have a heart for God? This genuinely devoted to Him. Paul in Acts, or Luke writing, but quoting Paul in Acts sermon in Acts 13:22, I found David, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Not because of some mystical revelation from God. Not because that he might find favor and benefit more from it. But it's just heart for God that made him want to do what was right. It was a heart for God that was fully devoted to God that allowed Hezekiah to prosper. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you remember, I guess this is my life verse, Tom, among the favorites, all of these favorites. But it goes way back as a boy, as a new Christian, when I learned, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your way. Or as more translations, more recent translations say, He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't just believe Him. Don't just follow Him. Don't just do what's right with your heart. Trust Him. And what is He going to do? He's going to lead. He's going to be in control of your life. We go through a lot of circumstances that are just winding and up and down and going through times of grief or anxiety or depression and other times of just blessing and feeling good and so forth. But God will make your way straight. We'll keep it focused on Him. But you know the hardest part of that is lean not unto your own understanding. Especially in more recent years in areas of leadership and responsibility. You know, I'm kind of a type A person, and you know, it didn't take me long to discern what the options were, figuring out the problems, what we ought to do, and I sat through hours of committee meetings and administrative meetings and so forth, and I just sat there, you know, just fretting, said, why are we spending all this talking? This is what we ought to do. I know what we ought to do. I mean, you get into a decision-making mode in leadership, It's easy to become presumptuous. Your own way, your own thoughts, your own insights, rather than trusting in the Lord. And I tell you, they'll always come back and slap you in the face when you do it out of your own wisdom and insight instead of trusting in the Lord. And that's the verse that need to be quoted every day. When you get up in the morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't ever be distracted or diverted by your own rationalization, your own thoughts, what you want to do, what you think is best, but to follow the Lord. So are you really thankful at this Thanksgiving? As you share with your family what you're thankful for this year, is it really out of a humble heart that acknowledges it's all of God? If there's any blessing, anything to be thankful for? If you recognize it, do you do so with all your heart? But above all, is it just trying to recall and think of something, maybe something you're aware of, or is it out of a disposition of thankfulness every day? Living with gratitude, awareness of God's presence, and His blessings. But you know, above all, whatever we can be thankful for this year, Paul expressed it in 2 Corinthians 9:15 when he said, "But thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, the gift of Jesus Christ." Do you realize how many people in the world today cannot thank God for that gift? That they've never even heard of Jesus Christ. They've never had an opportunity to experience God's salvation. You can think of many of your friends, your colleagues, and you can think of many, maybe even in your family and certainly in the community, that are not thanking God for Jesus Christ at this Thanksgiving time and the grace and mercy that He has given us. Ephesians 2:8-9, you remember, says, "By grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What greater gift to be thankful for, beyond what we could describe and either explain and mention. And you see, you can't really be thankful of other things, really, from the heart. You can't genuinely be thankful of blessings from God if you cannot thank Him for Jesus Christ, His unspeakable gift. That's what's been given to us. You remember the little chorus that I think is a good reminder to put Thanksgiving in perspective. Sing it with me. "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free." Lord, how thankful we are for this special season of the year, for this holiday, to be able to pause and reflect on the blessings that You've given to us. But I pray that we can celebrate Thanksgiving because it's just another point in a daily walk with You of gratitude, of being thankful, of the attitude of thankfulness in our heart that humbles us before You and strengthens our faith to trust You, to guide us and lead us each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand with me as we sing. When the music fades, all is swept away. and I simply God, longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things are being. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Be sure to thank your family this week as you see them. Thank God that you get to see them. Thank God that they are there. As so many of us will go to these Thanksgivings, and if you have lost someone this year, if there's someone in your family that will not be there this Thanksgiving, give thanks that they are with the Father, and give thanks for those that are still around you. Give thanks for so many things. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And I was supposed to do the eulogy. But things have changed so much. We don't know just exactly what's going to be. We may just have a graveside service. But she wanted all of you to know how much she loved you. How much she loved her church. And most of all, how much she loved God. And so, I've known Miss Meredith for probably 60 years. I've loved her and appreciated what she did, how much she loved each of you. And so, I just have to say that today. And she told me, and I'm sure that I would certainly hope that there's not a one here that doesn't know Jesus. But she told me about a year ago when she told me what she wanted done. She said, I may have some family there that doesn't know Jesus. And you be sure to tell them what they have to do to meet me. So when I heard this morning that she had gone to be with Jesus, I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So thank all of you for your love for her and the things that you've done, and you've made her life so happy, and now she's even happier. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you for that beautiful testimony, Miss Fay. It'll be a reminder to all of us to preach the word to everyone we meet. And as we sing our closing chorus, there are some words in there. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. All is vain unless the Spirit comes down. Will you pray with all of your power? Pray with all your power this week. Let's sing this together.